The morning underway with Malcolm Blight and Steve Waugh. They'll both be up on the podcast. We've added to the podcast offering this just a little snapshot, a little heart starter that's going to be there, which will contain sort of the best of your calls and the best texts of the morning, those that gave us a bit of a smile and a laugh, for just a 5 or 6 minute offering, which clears the way to the full show that's there, and all the interviews go up as well. So if you haven't subscribed yet, do. It's at sen.com.au and you can listen at your leisure. On a racing front, Oaks Day is going to a twilight fixture. I think this is a brilliant idea. This has been a gentle discussion at the VRC that they're ready to move on in November. The first race at 1:50 p.m., the last race at 6:25. So shorter breaks between the races. The Oaks will be run at 5:50. And I'm sure as time goes on, and I've seen an image of what the lighting looks like for Flemington one day, is the Oaks will end up being a night meeting. But it'll move to twilight now to have a more relaxed feel, the capacity to have lunch and then spend your afternoon there and into the night. And I think there's the possibility of people going after work, just taking the early finish and getting there for the middle part of the program. Is about, it was 6 or 8 years ago, we were completely taking the mickey in Melbourne, and 100,000 people went to a day race meeting on a Thursday in Cup Week, and the clamps went on that. So this is a neat reinvention of the idea. And the other major story is David Hayes is going back to Hong Kong. So having dominated there previously and won 2 premierships, the enticement to go and replace John Moore, the leading trainer over there, is so strong that he's going to return next season. So the operation has been totally rebuilt here, and his son Ben and Tom Dabeneg will run that, and David will go back to the hottest racing precincts in the world and try to thrive a second time around. So it's a bold adventure for David, and it's the next phase again for what happens with the Lindsay Park history in Australia. On a cricket front, should Dave Warner play at the Oval? The Ashes have been retained. The opportunity to win the series is there. 000. It is an emergency at the top of the order. It does feel like it's one that is going to be resisted by the Australian selectors and the coaching staff, and Steve Waugh gave a pretty good hint of that. Since Damien Fleming was last here, this is what's happened.
Oh, big shot, big shot. What's he doing? Gone! Review it, obviously, but I don't think it'll matter.
Impact in line, wickets hitting.
Great
stay
joy
with your
for
original
Australia.
Decision out. You're on camera.
Fabulous
now.
Performance. Magnificent game of cricket here at Old Trafford. Marvellous scenes. Australia retain the Ashes.
After the last test match, I said, you got no idea how much that hurts. You got no idea how much or how satisfying that is. It's a great bunch of blokes, and they've worked very hard. We've got the luxury of six healthy fast bowlers, which I haven't seen for a long time. We've got the luxury of the number one batsman in the world and the number one bowler in the world, and a great camaraderie within the group. So, it's very satisfying.
Justin Langer overnight. 1-300-736-736 to join our cricket conversation. We'll ring the trade bell at 10:40. But before we do, we have other matters to attend to. Damien Fleming, good morning.
Morning, Jared.
We're alma mater of Bounce, you much more intimately than I am. You're the ringmaster of yesterday's heroes, where Danny Frawley shone.
It did. It
how
did
you, first of all, on a personal level, how were you when you heard?
Yeah, it was just absolutely devastating. Actually walked out of here last week and just bumped into the Spudster here at Croc Media. And my first response, I hadn't seen him for a while, was, let's get a coffee. And we started to chat and, we left saying, let's catch up for golf. So hearing the news, it was so sad, and listening to all the callers, talking to some people that were close, mates, and texting. The thing about Spud, he was universally loved, wasn't he? He had such a big heart. He was always giving, and no more than in the skits that you're talking about. Yeah. on Bounce, before the Bounce, after the Bounce. And, he absolutely loved it, and it worked, the dynamic, didn't it? That the chief, really talented at all sports like this, but for the Spud, in those skits that they did, whether it was rugby league, trotting,
Table tennis.
Table tennis, golf, baseball. Paintball. He was there to win. And,
yes.
But the one thing about it, Jared, about Danny Frawley, that the more I was involved in this, was, you know, live TV, you know, the chief would eat him up. You know, but when we were doing these skits, geez, he was good. Once the camera went, he was a bloody good actor and he was funny and he put so much effort into it. He made, you know, he's the essence of Bounce, isn't he? He's the heart and soul.
And the reason that skit worked, so it's an idea, but when it comes to life, is for the very reason you said he couldn't help himself. He had to win. And for all the stuff and nonsense, most of it was just to give him the advantage to win.
But, Billy Cannon, the producer, geez, he'd have some good outtakes.
Yeah.
Because some of the dummy spits between mainly Chief and Spud, but to be honest, I had a couple as well. Because even though it was supposed to be fun and all this, the essence was we just had to win. And once one of them lost, you know, the Chief's doing burnouts out at Werribee and telling us where to go, and then the Spudster, you know, be ringing straight after. I could have got the Chief there. And and
of course,
what I loved, there was one, was it Neil Robertson, Billiards, and just at South Melbourne, it was Walter Lindrum's old house. And in the practices, the Chief's just winning everything. You know, we're practicing this sort of stuff. And then there was one that they somehow drew, you know, the Spud's keeping in there. And it was one where you just hit the end of the table and get as close as you can to the other end.
Yep.
Right? Just one of them. So we're just, while we're trying to set up filming, Chief is just dominating and getting it right. So action. So first off, the Spud gets it within 2 millimetres, right? So the Chief just, great, so we go to the Chief for a chat and the door's already slamming. That's it. That's gone. And the Spudster could not have been happier, but absolutely loved him, and he was well loved, and he's going to be sorely missed.
Yep. Yep. He will be. As the table tennis one was given an airing last night.
Oh, my God.
Got it in the nads.
He just was so funny, wasn't he? And, you know, even just hearing Steve Waugh, you know, a few minutes ago, you know, the impact he had on everyone, you know, when they're riding, you know, he was the heart and soul, you know, so passionate and so much energy.
Valet Spud, and these memories, they must be recounted over the weeks and the months to come. On the cricket front, Flem, how thrilling on Monday morning that this was achieved.
Yep, and once again, Australia were the most dominant team, and we just didn't want it to be able to be a draw in the end. Overton and Leach, you know, did really well. They battled hard. Some will say more than their top order, really. They've got a better bottom five than top five there. But, you know, Stephen Smith again coming in. I reckon even his second innings was probably, you know, more significant. That really, he played just about, well, he made up shots, didn't he? He made up shots. And it was back to that England thinking, where do we get him out? You know, this is humiliating even. So Smithy, you know, we just keep talking about him and he just keeps raising his reputation. And Steve Waugh just saying that, you know, he practices, he's ahead of the game. You know, he's probably preparing the way that modern batsmen will start to prepare. That, you know, really that type of batting is fine in all three forms. But I think that the fast bowling's underplayed as well. Cummins has been unbelievable. Hazelwood coming in, and it's interesting with the selections, they're calling it resting and rotating. You know, I've got a feeling that there's a little bit of, we want to make sure that you do feel a bit uncomfortable. You've been regular bowlers for many a year now, and you are potential all-time greats, but we need you 100% when you play, and you've got to be hungry. And we've definitely seen that from Hazelwood, who's an absolute gun, isn't he? But we saw the ball Mitchell Starc bowled to Bairstow. That's what Mitchell Starc brings to the table, isn't it? So he would have been hurting not playing. Tough coming into for the fourth test match, but absolutely brilliant. And even Tim Payne, you know, calls for his head, not from you and me.
No, we've been
30 changes with the ball. I know Marnus is one of those blokes who's in his head. Yeah, bring him on. And it was the right decision. And well played. So just about all the boxes are ticked besides, obviously, Warner at the top, and it looks like you know, he'll play the last test.
So we'll cast an eye to the oval in a moment. Just a little more around the Smith feats. So we know the 671 runs. This is when he's come in, right? 2 for 17 in the 8th over, 2 for 27 in the 10th over, 2 for 60 in the 23rd over, a total luxury, 2 for 28 in the 7th over, 2 for 16 in the 7th over. So he has been in inside 10 overs in 5 of those innings, and he's gone 144, 142, 92, 211 and 82. So he's been done no favours. He's come in a time of need in 4 of the 5 innings of acute need where it can spiral out of control, and he has provided a level of surety that is so rare in Test cricket.
Back to the second innings too. Like, if he'd got out straight away, we're getting bowled out for 70. And there was a little bit, you know, hard in the mouth going, can he really do it again? And not only did he stop the momentum, he actually just sucked it out of England, didn't he? And the stats, wasn't it? Like, he's going to miss 3 innings. He probably could have got 1,000 runs in this test series. The first time ever.
This morning, so the age has got... Steve Smith requires 304 runs to better Bradman's mark of 974 in 1930, the highest tally ever achieved by any player in any series. If he doesn't miss a test through concussion, he does it in the doddle.
It easy. Does it absolutely easy.
And 304 is not out of range in 2 tests of in 2 innings of the oval the way he's
batting. You know what will hurt us? Our bowler's bowling him out twice and he only gets one inning.
We won't give him a chance.
So, Donald made a 304, I think, in the 1930 tour. So he might have to go past that. But no, it's been brilliant. His time out of the game, you know, there's certainly always going to be question marks. But, you know, he may have come back and taken it to another level. And a little bit, it was interesting you're having Steve Waugh. You know, Steve Waugh is a teammate of mine, then captain. You know, no one influenced the group he was actually involved in more than Steve Waugh, you know, and particularly names like Langer and Hayden and Gilchrist and that sort of co. Now, Stephen Smith is a different personality type to Steve Waugh, but you're seeing with Marnus Labuschagne, you know, taking on a few different ways or playing back, letting the ball come to him. I think he's influencing teammates, and there's no doubt he's influencing kids. And for kids, just be very careful. It's a Stephen Smith technique that's been honed over years.
National epidemic of LBWs.
Yes, they're going to miss the ball. That's my problem. But there is some stuff, you know, that is great to be influenced by, that, you know, he's never satisfied. He's always trying to upskill. And then I also like, you know, hearing him say that, you know, he adjusts his stance and all that and how much he goes back to what the bowler's doing and what the pitch is doing. And really that's the essence of cricket, that every ball you've got to mount your own game plan against what the bowler's doing, what the pitch is doing and the game scenario.
So you tell us, if you were picking the team for the Oval and the Ashes are retained, there's the historic marker of winning in England is the opportunity, would you keep Dave Warner at the top of the order? 2-8-3-5-61-0-0-0, losing the battle with Stuart Broad. For credits to the past, for loyalty's sake, for stability, for the future even, or do you go, there's just no runs to be had with Warner at the top of the order? 1-300-736-736 before Damien Fleming gives his judgment. You tell us. Snap poll on the text 0433-98-1116. Do you stick with Dave Warner?
Travis Head, new to Test cricket. Marnus, new to Test cricket. Marcus Harris, new to Test cricket. Cameron Bancroft, new to Test cricket. You can't just put a, you know, give them that experience. They've got to earn that. And Test cricket takes time. You know, we've got to respect that. It takes a lot of time. And, you know, Davey hasn't had a great series, but imagine how good the team will be when he starts having a great series. So, and we're hopefully we'll do that in the next Test match.
79 runs in 8 innings. Australia's opening partnerships have been 2, 13, 11, 13, 12, 10, 1 and 0. Warner's been the first man out in all bar one of those. 1-300-736-736. Here we go. You play selector. Do you stick with Dave Warner? And then the Emperor, Damien Fleming, will go yay or nay at the end. Mark is in Sunshine West. Hello, Mark.
Hey, guys, how are you going?
Well.
As I said last week, Flame, you know how I said it, that I used that football analogy? Will I, won't I, can I, can't I? And he was exactly the same in the second innings. He didn't know whether to go back, go forward, be aggressive, be defensive. I would actually give Cam, either Cam Bancroft or Usman Khawaja, open up with Harris and just give Warner a spell.
There was gallows humour in what happened in that over. So you just absorb all of this, Flem, yep. And then you can wane at the end. So Mark's a nay. Matt is in Cheltenham. Hello, Matt.
Good morning, gents. Before I start, Farley Spud, true sainter in every sense of the word.
Good man.
I've got a two-part question, if I may. Warner, kind of got splinters.
Yes.
If it comes off, it could be great.
Yep.
But I would like to ask you two whether you have a recollection of Stuart Broad being this good to left-handers, and if he was, would that have influenced the squad selection? Because right now, our top order needs Joe Burns like oxygen.
Flem?
Yep, very good call. I reckon they picked their squad, and, well, there was one spot available, and Bancroft getting that 90 in the practice game and being a right-hander is what got them in. They were very worried, but I still don't think they knew Broad could bowl this well to left-handers. It has been outstanding.
That's Matt. John's in Taylor's Lakes. John, which way are you going?
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
Good.
I think we need, as a nation and as a sporting culture, we need to get behind Davey Warner. I mean, he's given so much for Australian cricket, and he has two little kids. He has a beautiful wife that support him, and they look up to him. What he's given for Australia, I think the Australian public should finally forgive him for what supposedly was such a terrible thing that's actually been occurring in Test cricket for many, many years by many, many nations.
Yeah, so that's all a valid sentiment, John, and we take that on board. And it's not about finishing him up. It's a, would you play him at the Oval when Stuart Broad's got his measure? This is a real. This is an analytical question. Yes or no?
I would, because Greg Chappell made no runs in seven straight innings for Australia.
Yep.
And then came out and made 100.
Nice precedent, John. Well done. Bob's very in good. Taylor's Lakes. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Jaron. Yes, yeah, so, look, I've always never thought of Warner as an opener anyway. I look at him as a Gilchrist-type player. I'd like to see him down the order a bit. He looks too uncomfortable off the swinging ball. And whereas, wouldn't it be great if the fourth wicket was Smith and Warner out there batting?
So we've got a yes, a no, a maybe, and a down to six. So we've got all quadrants covered here. Good on you, Bob. Sean's in Darley. Welcome, Sean.
Hi, how are you doing? I just reckon he has to go. He has to go. When was the last time David Warner batted, you know, what was it Smith batted the last time, 8 hours? When was the last time David Warner batted 8 hours?
Yes, well, it's a long time. It's back in the Australian summer prior to
well, in his heyday,
the South
480.
Tour. Yes.
If he batted 8 hours.
Remember that day in Perth where he batted, he was 200 and something at stumps on day one and tipped into day two. And yes. So crash in his contemplation was putting in that Warner will open in the first test at home at the Gabba against Pakistan. So you can break that both ways too. You can say this might be the moment to implement the new pair, two tests against Pakistan, three at home against New Zealand. You get a five test block before you start to travel later in the year, or this would be the last home lap of Warner in Test cricket. And maybe that plays a role in the short-term decision as well.
Yeah, for me, if I'm picking the first test team to play against Pakistan, Warner's in it. Mm. So that's what sways me to play him in this test match. Back in 2001, it was actually the Australian coach, Justin Langer, that got the opportunity. You know, moved out from number three, out hurting. Michael Slater got dropped. Langer got in and got 100. But Langer was already an established test player. We knew he was a good player.
Yep.
I don't think we can make that suggestion about Cam Bancroft, and I wouldn't. Khawaja's around the same age as Dave Warner, so I would be sticking with Warner for this test match, and obviously for the summer, because I just don't see a viable option to open the batting, and obviously you're backing Marcus Harris. Yep. Marcus Harris for the summer as well. He gets to bat with an experienced opener. The ball doesn't move that much in Australia. I think Dave averages mid-50s. So Warner for me for the last test.
Okay, so the split on the texts from David, and this is representative. It's pretty well a 50-50 split. Despite Warner's lean run of big scores, except for the 60-61, I would still select him for this last match. I reckon Warner will score 137. So David's been very specific.
Very specific.
Very specific. And Kane is Warner gone. It would be considerable. It would be unconscionable to pick a player so out of form, so down on confidence, and so undeserving. A change must be made. So Flem has given it the thumbs up.
He averages 60 in Australia.
Yeah.
So I'm backing him, and I know it, and it gives the opportunity. Hopefully by the end of this summer, Harris is an established opener. And then it's up to Bancroft, Burns, you know, whoever, to take the mantle off Dave Warner.
Yeah, and it might be a disruption that they don't need having retained the Ashes. I just don't like the matchup. That's, I think for the one test I would, because by the time Warner left the middle of Old Trafford, he wasn't going to score again against Stuart Broad.
Yeah.
That's sort of how it's... That's the point it's reached. So I'm very specific to the matchup.
No, I'm worried.
His fortune.
That second innings, the pitch had flattened out, hasn't it? It was probably the best batting conditions against a Stuart Broad.
And he was
and
getting
he still
out
couldn't.
In that over.
No.
Like, there was nothing surer than he was getting out. Meredith's got the news.
The 2019 Harley-Davidson model runout is now on at Harley Heaven.
SEN News this hour, Russell Street bomber Craig Minogue has failed in his parole bid, the High Court upholding a law which ensures anyone who murders a police officer has no chance of parole. Investigations are underway after a man discovered what appears to be human remains on his property in Geelong, and Apple has unveiled its new iPhones. The iPhone 11 is boasting an upgraded camera. SEN.com.au Sport coming up.
Want a quality coffee quick? Grab one from just $1 at Coles Express. Yes, just $1 for a freshly ground four-bean Arabica blend. Quality coffee quick, only at Coles Express.
Australian selectors are yet to decide on the makeup of their fast bowling attack for the final Ashes test at the Oval. Justin Langer revealing in-form pair Pat Cummins and Josh Hazlewood are not certain starters. And Jeb Buse has re-signed with Geelong for another 2 years. Weather up next.
Shop from over 40,000 of your favourite Aussie retailers on eBay. From a brand new Dyson to a pack of nappies, it's your one-stop shop. Shop the eBay app now and get it for less.
AFL Nation, the Cats and the Eagles live Friday night from 6 on 11.16 SEN.
Rain, hail or shine, if you're digging for a living, the conditions are always perfect at Supergroups, Victoria's number one Kubota construction dealer.
Sunny today, a top of 20 degrees. Chance of showers tomorrow, 19, and a few clouds around on Friday. Right now, it's 8 degrees.
Thanks, Meredith. Damien Fleming with his view towards the Oval tomorrow night. The Age report Australia are strongly considering resting star paceman Pat Cummins for the fifth test as they weigh up the risk of overtaxing their best bowler.
Yeah, and I saw another article, Nathan Lyon said Pat Cummins wants to play.
Yes.
And Patrick said that before the summer, isn't it? So unless he's got some obvious injury concerns, not stiffness and soreness, and he wants to play, you've got to play him. You want to walk off at the end of the fifth test, 3-1, and you've taken 30 wickets.
Yep.
So he has to play for me unless there is an actual injury. For the other makeup, I'm not so sure. Obviously, Hazlewood will play and Lyon. Now Starks played a test. The way I've seen Mitchell Starks' career, the more bowling gets, the better he gets. I'd say he'd bowl better in this test match than the last one, but there's a bit of a lottery about it, isn't there?
Well, I think their plan was to go back to Pattinson. But whether that altered...
Originally it was, wasn't it? One in, one out.
Yep.
Whereas I think Pattinson would have been better playing consecutive test matches. So this is the problem. It's actually playing around with form. Like, you can switch on technique and skills to a degree, but can you switch on confidence and form? I don't think so. I think you want to keep playing while you're in good form. You can actually live with getting dropped when you're in bad form. Yeah, I think Pattinson... that third test match, he looked like he'd just lost a bit of his form and then he's dropped again.
If I had one wish for this test match, it would be a century for Travis Head, who he's waiting on that one big score, I think, and it might open the horizon to him if he could get it in this test match.
It was Stephen Smith in 2013, had scored some 50s in India. That got him picked for the Ashes, some handy 50s there, and he finally got his 100 at the Oval, and we saw what happened to his career. It's important for Travis, but it's also important for Australian cricket because, you know, he's a vice-captain. He's captained South Australia for about 5 years now. And we know besides Tim Payne, you know, where is the next leadership structure? And we want Travis Head a part of that, but he's got to show that he can be a consistent run scorer at test level before you'd actually give him the captaincy. So there is a lot riding on this for individuals. You know, we've talked about Dave Warner, you know, even Marcus Harris as well. You know, if he gets a good score in this test match, bang, well, he's playing the summer. If he fails again, then he's back to, well, who will open there with Dave Warner? But no, I totally agree. Let's have another first 100 in England for Travis Head and the Aussies 3-1. We deserve it. We've beaten the better team by a mile, haven't we?
It would be.
England would unchanged? Be Have they not watched their batsmen for the whole series? Jerry.
You had them well scouted coming in. Kudos to you.
First tweet. Yeah. I said it. Very good batting lineup, England, in white ball cricket.
We'll have one more session to wrap it all up, Flem.
Next week.
Yep. And
we're going to be tired.
Oh, well, I'm going to miss it, but I'm going to enjoy the sleep because I can't go to bed when Steve Smith is batting. And it has been really, really rugged.
Mate, I'll get a DVD of his whole Ashes.
Yes.
And that'll get you through to the first test match. Thanks, Jared. Go Aussies.
Damien Fleming, who's been a constant presence throughout the Ashes. Terrific to have him aboard. So it felt like we were neatly split. I think the slightest majority was towards dropping Warner, but there are plenty of defenders of him at the top of the order and those who would reposition him down the bottom. After 11, Craig Jennings is going to join me. So a deep dive into the semi-finals. Last week, he brought us themes like bludgeon ball versus Beirut ball and Musashi versus Musashi. We'll get him to take us through how it all unfolded from a strategic sense, what it means, and then cast the themes for the semi-finals that are ahead of us. And in a moment, we're going to ring the trade bell with Sam McClure. Today's the day. If you want to join in the trade bell, give us a call, 1-300-736-736, with a question or with an opinion. We'll bring you into the trade bell coming up next. This is Waitley for Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy. And experience the difference at Doncaster BMW.